How will aviation change in 2011? And how will reporting it change? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, you heard the first half of a conversation that I'll finish today with ANN CEO and Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell, reviewing some of the major aviation and aerospace stories of 2010 and looking ahead to what we expect to be making news in 2011. But just as the industry is changing, the job of covering its news is changing as well. Technology has made everybody a blogger, while at the same time covering some types of news has been made more challenging. What's ahead in 2011?
Ooh, boy. The web has changed everything. I mean, we know that because, you know, we were part of the early revolution. Matter of fact, I guess the leader of the early revolution to take not just aviation journalism to the web, but real time and then audio and video. We've been leading in that regard in every way. We're looking very carefully at what's going to happen out there. One of the things that's become very clear, though, is that the blogosphere, if you will, or the aero blogosphere is riddled with a tremendous amount of information, in many cases misinformation. And one of the things that we're going to have to do over a period of time is be very careful that the instant pundits don't destroy the credibility of an industry that in the past had a few stalwarts to depend on. It's tough out there to do good journalism. The new reality of the web has made it far tougher, and it's made it very tough for the reader to understand what they read and to find any sense of authenticity without doing a fair amount of research. Ultimately, we're going to have to work very hard not just to do our job, but to show people how we do our job so that they can believe in what we're doing. That's something that we're taking very seriously, and we'll see what happens down the line. At the same time, the web has taken on some real interesting proportions this year. It's obvious that the citizenry will react to those issues and stories that they find to be requiring a passionate response. I mean, right now we're looking at this flight prep / patent suit hoorah. Mm-hmm. It's grown into some very interesting dimensions. We have flight prep on one side saying, hey, wait a second, we got a patent. And there's no question, they got a patent. The validity of the patent, who knows? But we've had this whole response of people going, well, I don't like what you did with it. I don't like the way that you acted with it. I don't think you're being very good aero citizens. There's a boycott flight prep blog. There's sites that have been shut down or voluntarily, in most cases, that just said, we don't want to deal with this because we can't afford the $100,000 that we've been told it's going to take to fight this. But the web and the citizenry have banded together to make their needs known. It's no question that a great majority of the people on the web right now are making it very clear that they're not thrilled that Runway Finder and Nav Monster and a number of others have shut down or disappeared, and that there seems to be some real question as to what the true motivations were on the part of flight prep in regards to how they impacted the industry. Now, the next step is how will their actions impact Mighty Jeppesen or Flight Plan or even AOPA, which gets its data from JEP. I mean, AOPA does nothing original. They're just borrowing other technology. It's all JEP stuff and so forth. And that's all well and good. But sooner or later, one of the big guys is going to have to wade into this because they got the letters from flight prep saying, well, we need to talk. And the basic answer from the big boys has been, yeah, not interested. See ya. If suits are filed, this issue is going to get real interesting. Covering it is not going to be just a matter of what we as journalists are going to need to do, but how the industry is going to perceive it. The sense of community, the sense of networking, the social networking, if you will, of aviation will be possibly the next major revolution in how aviation not only gets information, but what they do with it. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, it's going to be fun to be knee-deep in it, too. So,
well, yeah, and, you know, for those of us who have been doing this for the better part of, well, actually over a decade now, gosh help, I just can't imagine when I look at this how long we've been doing this and all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of fun to look at. Matter of fact, by the time this airs, we may be at our 4,000th AeroCast.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a record unequaled by anything, anywhere, anytime. So I'm hopefully we're going to have as big a role to play in the future as we've had in the past. But the only way that's going to work out is for us to have a pretty good crystal ball and, more important, listen to what people tell us.
I'll be back to wrap up with ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature, wrapping up my discussion with Jim Campbell about 2011. Having access to reporting on aviation's news is only half the process for the reader, listener, or viewer. The other half is empowerment to take action on issues, a role that traditionally has involved our industry associations. The two major alphabet groups serving general aviation have been in transitions of various sorts. The Experimental Aircraft Association has started what will be a gradual torch pass from Tom Poberesny to Rod Hightower, and signs are encouraging so far that Rod has a clear vision of the mission and ideas on how to accomplish it. AOPA, on the other hand, was most visible in 2010 for its fundraising, including raising dues and some conspicuous expenditures, not to mention the one brand extension in particular that had a lot of us shaking our heads.
And I mean, the whole concept of criticizing the wine club as the leading edge of a group of new lifestyle segments of AOPA was that this was not what you wanted to be in the leading edge of the spear when you were talking about how pilots spend their time in the various lifestyle pursuits. And the fact that AOPA got all up in arms and indignant about you know, anybody's protestations of why they wanted, why they didn't like the associations of alcohol and aviation was just plain ignorant. They're off mission. They need to get back to what they started with. They need to quit running around telling everybody how great they are and start doing something great with who they are. And that's something I think it's absolutely necessary. We see Gamma doing some good work here and there, although the Gamma has a really tough time doing what it needs to do, because the biggest problem with Gamma is that they are beholden to a group of members who are all CEOs, and boy, talk about herding cats. That's got to be a tough one. And then, of course, there's MBAA. And MBAA runs hot and cold. MBAA has some awfully talented people, but their idea of outreach to the world is running ads in the Wall Street Journal. And yeah, people read that, but that's not how you win hearts and minds. There are things that they need to do, ways that they need to express themselves. When it comes to members, second to none, they support their membership very well. When it comes to outreach, I think there's a lot of things they could be doing, but more important, they need to be looking at the modality of how they are communicating to the world. And the Wall Street Journal ads are not the answer. They need to be getting more involved in social networking. They need to be more involved in outreach. And they need to be more involved in communicating the true nature of aviation business, airplanes, and people doing business with airplanes to the rest of the world. Yeah, you can impress Congressman so-and-so with the fact that his district has a couple of high flyers who may donate to his campaign, but when members of his constituency are calling his congressional office and saying, hey, I understand that this airplane and this guy are responsible for 600 jobs in my county alone. You need to cut this guy a break. You need to be supporting this industry. You need to be supporting business aviation. When that type of communication occurs, that's when MBAA is going to be truly effective. And there's more things like that. So crafting the message, it's a big deal and may be the biggest problem we're going to have in 2011.
All right. Well, Jim, it's great to get your take on this. I know you're involved in a lot of corners of this, and it will be very interesting to watch and see which of these predictions comes about and which are proven, we hope, pessimistic.
Well, nobody wants to be pessimistic. The problem with journalism is that you have to start there at your worst case scenario, and then look for the sunshine where you find it. But more important, you've got to be able to provide all sides to the story. And unfortunately, all sides to the story in 2010 was not exactly a bright and shiny pursuit.
Well, perhaps things can only get better. Jim Campbell is the founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of ANN. You've been listening to a special feature from Arrow News. Find us on the web at arrow-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.